today on Real Radio.
Look, God loves you. He's in love with you. And God wants you to hang out with him. Are you in love? If you're in love, you hope someone else loves you too. Well, the only way you're going to know is if they want to hang out with you. Oh, I love you so much, but don't come over. Something's wrong. God says, I love you so much. Please hang out with me. It's called the Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Come My People, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, God used the prophet Isaiah to speak mainly to his people in Judah and the city of Jerusalem. But God also gave Isaiah visions that were far into the future, the coming of the Messiah Jesus Christ, for one, and also what's going to happen in the last days and the events that lead to his new kingdom here on earth. In the first 18 verses of Isaiah chapter 26, we saw how much God really loves Israel. The existence of Israel today is one of the reasons why there's so much trouble in this world. We also looked into the coming 1,000-year reign, or what's called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. During his second coming, Jesus will rule and reign from the New Jerusalem. Now in verses 19 through 21, we look into the last half of the Great Tribulation period, back when the Antichrist breaks his promise of peace. And now continuing his lesson called, Come My People. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Listen, Jesus says he's coming back and he is going to make war. How does that sit with you? I know it freaks you out. The first time I ever read this as a new Christian, I thought, what? Wait a minute. He's coming back and he's going to make war with his enemies. Is there a New Testament correlation? It's right here. Listen, Isaiah chapter 63 tells us that when he does it, his robe is going to be splattered with the blood of his enemies. It's really quiet in here right now. We kind of like the Newport Beach hippie surf kind of Jesus. You know, got a little surf rack on his donkey. He's cool. Make love, not war. Listen, I know that when man makes war, I understand that. But when God makes war, it's righteous. Doesn't that freak you out? He will do it. He's not going to, like, I need an army. He will do it. The Bible says he's going to open his mouth. And truth comes out. And with that truth, he's going to smite the nations with truth. Wham, wham, with the word. Truth. See, man, this is a very militant message tonight. Hey, man, listen. He's coming back. I tell you, now's the time to accept Jesus. Well, it's a gracious, gentle time. Because the door's going to close someday. I don't know when, and I don't want to know when. And you don't know either. Just to encourage you even further, Exodus 15:3 says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Exodus 15, verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. Revelation 19:12, his eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped or splattered, is the actual word, splattered in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven. Now, I just said he doesn't need an army. This is kind of cute. This army in heaven, read the fine print. They're clothed in fine linen. The word alludes to a wedding gown. What kind of army is this? White and clean, followed him on white horses. Kind of Lord of the Rings like, you know? Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. You think when Jesus opens his mouth and he strikes the nations that it's going to be funny? It's going to be awesome. Terrifying, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Isaiah 26:21. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why does he do this? Verse 21 says, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood or no longer cover it up. It's going to come out and will no more cover her slain. the second coming of Christ. So tonight, this is heavy stuff, big stuff, serious stuff. I know that you would naturally have some questions. If there's any way that we could have a civil moment, we've got some time left. When I say civil, I mean, rather than you make a statement, if you have an honest question, I'd love to hear an honest question from you that we can hopefully get you an honest answer to. But you're hearing this stuff and it's like, wait, what? And if you've got one, can you just keep it super short and loud from where you're at? I was hoping there'd be less of you tonight so we could kind of get up closer. But regarding this stuff, it's important stuff. And you have a question? Yep. Great. Great question. Remember, Jesus Christ, oh, sorry. When the millennium begins, who are those mortals? Like you and I right now are mortal, right? Who are they that live into the kingdom? Because we're already in heaven. The wicked are destroyed. Who lives into the kingdom age? Great question. By the way, it begins with Jesus saying, unless I come back, if I don't come back, there will be no flesh left alive on earth. But he does come back. In Matthew chapter 25, there is your answer. When Jesus Christ returns in the second coming, the Bible says that he establishes his throne in Jerusalem and he separates the nations that have survived. He separates the people. And by the way, what's interesting is, I can't explain this, it's just what it says. It's not only he judges the individuals who are alive at his return, the mortals, but he retains somehow their nationality is kept, their nation. So if an Egyptian was nice to the Jews during the tribulation period, that's the criteria, by the way, Matthew 25. Don't ever confuse Matthew 25 with Jesus separating Christians from non-Christians. That's not what it means. I mean, you know, I'm talking about the sheep and the goats. When Jesus separates the sheep from the goats, it says he will separate the nations like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He's not going to separate believers from non-believers or Christians from non-Christians or sheep from goats. When he comes back, he tells you in Matthew 25 what the criteria is. He's going to base, and I paraphrase this portion. For the last 7 years, while my people have been getting their teeth knocked in, how did you treat them? It's kind of like the Holocaust. It's kind of like the Tin Boon family. How did you treat them? And those people living at that time are going to they're going to give their answer. And somehow he retains their national identity to some degree because those who were good to Israel live into the millennium. They come, they pass through the judgment. Boy, I wish we had time for this because it gets cool. They walk in, they pass the judgment of Christ. They enter into the kingdom. Jesus said, enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what he's going to say to them. And guess what's going to happen? Any health food people here? Any organic grocery buyers, this is going to be amazing because apparently right when they come on in, Isaiah tells us that when they go into the millennial age, if they were to die at the age of 100, people will mourn as though a child had died. Longevity will begin to increase during that period of time. He's going to restore. Isaiah says the deserts will bloom. The Mojave is going to be one of the more beautiful places on earth because a needle, you think of a rose bush, oh, it's so beautiful. You've never even seen a real rose bush. Because did you know that a thorn on a plant is an underdeveloped blossom? If you poke your finger on a rose thorn, it's actually a blossom that never developed. When he comes back, the Bible says in the millennium, he will cause the deserts to bloom. Can you imagine grabbing a barrel cactus? It's blossomed like a bouquet when Christ comes back. Those mortals will live in and they will begin to repopulate the earth. That will not be you, the believer. You will be the bride of Christ, the church. You will come back with him in Revelation 19. John, that's a great question. It's one that's not often asked, but it's a great, great question. Yes. Yeah, I don't know. She asked the question, America's not mentioned in the Bible in the last days. What happens to us? That's both good news and bad news, huh? It's not written. And to me, that's hopeful. You say, yeah, but wouldn't it be better if it? I don't know, because listen, it's as though. And let me preface my response by saying this. How is it that the most influential nation on the face of the earth throughout human history, wealthiest, used to be, powerful, used to be, free, used to be, but how is it that the outside of Israel, the only other nation in the history of mankind that had a biblical foundation, America, how is it that it's not mentioned in the Bible? We don't know. Here's the thing. The thing is, that if it's not written, maybe that there's hope for us to repent and have a spiritual ending. But it is not clearly mentioned. We can only speculate, some do, that the Tarshish, the references to the young lions of Tarshish would refer to America. It's stretching it, but it just doesn't say. You'd think the greatest, biggest, wealthiest nation that the earth has ever known would be in the Bible, right? It's not. So, yep. Yeah, I think you meant to say this. You said before the rapture happens, the man of sin has got to show up from maybe, what, the European Union, you said? Actually, the Bible teaches in 2 Thessalonians that he can't show up until the rapture happens. The rapture's got to happen before he can show up, okay? 2 Thessalonians 2. Once that happens, he mentioned Europe, the European Union. Well, we don't know if it's the European Union, but we can very, very confidently say that it will be some power brokerage group that comes out of Europe, because it's the revised Roman Empire. See, where does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't. It calls the Antichrist out of the 10 toes, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter, is it 11? The statue that Daniel sees of the world governing empires, the Antichrist rises out of the 10 kings. Are you listening? This gets weird. Are you listening? The 10 kings are represented, the Bible says, the 10 kings are 10 toes. The 10 toes are 10 kings that will arise out of the ancient beast that has two legs, it says, in Daniel's statue. Remember, the statue's like this? And it says that the legs are the Roman Empire. Here's the amazing thing about Daniel's prophecy. Man, if there's a skeptic in the house, you ought to sit up and listen to this. And Lord, help me in my memory right now. The inquiry came at the request of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a vision, scared the snot out of him. And he said, and I'm shortening it up now, Daniel, can you tell me what it meant? And he said, I can't tell you, but I'll go. But my God will know. I'll go talk to him and see what he says. Daniel came back, and he says, you, O king Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold. By the way, the king didn't tell Daniel the image that he saw. He said, I had a dream. It scared the snot out of me. Tell me what it means. Daniel was the only one to come back. And he said, here's what you saw. You saw a statue, and its head was gold. You are that head, O great king Nebuchadnezzar, for no one has ever had the power and the rule and the dominion like you. And from the head, there was the shoulders and the upper torso. Your kingdom is going to be conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. And the Medo-Persian Empire, the upper shoulders and the chest region, it's going to be taken captive by this upper thigh region. That will be the Grecian Empire and Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great wasn't even born yet. And God told Daniel, tell Nebuchadnezzar it's going to be Greece. It's in your Bible. It was in the Bible before Nebuchadnezzar. People were reading it in their Bible before Alexander the Great was ever born. And then he says, but the Grecian Empire is going to be destroyed by a horrible beast. This beast will arise and it will have two legs. And it will stand like a man, and it will just crush all the others. But what's going to happen is that empire is going to produce on its two feet 10 toes. And before that image is completely destroyed and removed off the face of the earth, a stone, a rock, I saw in heaven. and it came out of heaven, and it struck the image in its toes, and it crumbled the entire empire, and the wind blew, and it sent it away into nothing. But out of the 10 toes will arise one, that is an 11th horn or king. So out of the 10 governing toes, the 10 leaders of this ancient Roman Empire, by the way, the Roman Empire, out of all of the kingdoms listed in the statue, there was only one empire that got so big that it divided up its power into an eastern flank and a western flank. Roman Empire. The Bible says that it will be destroyed when it has its 10 toes. Isn't it amazing? I can tell you who defeated the Babylonians, and I can tell you who defeated the Medo-Persians, and I can tell you who defeated the Greeks. I cannot tell you tonight who defeated the Romans. The Roman Empire has never been defeated. God says, that's what I said. I'll defeat it when it has 10 toes, and out of the 10, there's going to be one who will arise, and he will deceive my people. He will generate a 7-year contract, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. And for that, that gets the ball going. The day he signs that contract with my people, it will be 7 years. We'll have to end with this. Never doubt God's word. God, through the prophet Daniel, said, concerning my people Israel, I will deal with them in a special calendar of time because they owe me. They're in debt to me. Listen, Israel was blessed of God. They became very prosperous. When you get prosperous, you forget about God. You don't need God. You got money. What do you care? You got God. You have a charge card. What do you care about God? When you have money, you don't care about God. Israel got money. They forgot about God. And listen, they kept farming and they kept business and they never took the Sabbath. They stopped Sabbathing. And God says, all right, here's the deal. You guys have robbed me. I wanted you to take a day off to get to know me, to refresh. Look, God loves you. He's in love with you. And God wants you to hang out with him. Are you in love? If you're in love, you hope someone else loves you too. Well, the only way you're going to know is if they want to hang out with you. Oh, I love you so much, but don't come over. Something's wrong. Oh, I love you so much, but I have no time for you. Something's wrong. God says, I love you so much. Please hang out with me. It's called the Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen. And they said, no, we're too busy. So God waited and waited and waited. And he says, okay, here's the deal. I've done the math. And he says, you owe me 490 years. And instead of you laying around and forgetting me, I'm extracting it out of you. You're gonna suffer for that. That prophecy was announced in the book of Daniel. And on March 14th, 445 BC, King Artaxerxes Longimanus gave a decree to a guy by the name of Nehemiah in your Bible. On March 14th, 445 BC. And he said, Nehemiah, you're crying, you're all bummed out about your city, Jerusalem, go back there and rebuild it. 173,880 days from March 14th, 445 BC, according to the prophecies of the book of Daniel, from the day that Artaxerxes gave Nehemiah that certificate, the construction permit to go back and rebuild. Listen to this. It was 483 years, which is a biblical 173,880 days. From March 14th, 445 BC, that's April 6th, 32 AD. On that day, Daniel said the Messiah of Israel would appear to the nation on that day. Wow. April 6th, 32 AD was Palm Sunday, the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem. It was the only day that Jesus allowed himself to be hailed as king. And Jesus began to weep and cry in the middle of the fanfare. And Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only recognized this your day, but you were not willing. And now behold, your house has left you desolate and you will be dashed to pieces, you and your children. And you'll be banished to the ends of the world. that was on the 483rd year on that day of April 6, 32 AD. Did you hear what I said? 490 years were determined against Israel. On the 483rd year, in that year, on April 6, 32 AD, the Messiah came and they rejected him. Since that time, the gospel has gone out to the ends of the earth and you're a recipient of it. But he's about ready to end the show with us. He's about ready. It's almost over. Why? Because he still owes Israel 7 years. 483 from 490 leaves you seven. That's why the seven-year tribulation is solely, wholly, 100% Jewish. That's why the church cannot be found in the seven-year tribulation period. The Jews, as a nation, have no experience of the rapture because they don't believe and they won't be believing. But the church doesn't have exposure to the tribulation period because it's God's chastisement upon the Jews and a Christ-rejecting world. You are neither one. Pretty amazing. We should be very careful how we read our Bible. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that children's ministry would forgive us for going late. Lord, you're awesome, and we do pray that you'd even come tonight. You will someday soon interrupt. It's pretty obvious, too. We're seeing the world, nations. And Jesus, you said right before you came back that the nations of the earth will reel and foam in confusion like an angry sea. And we see nations not knowing what to do. We see the issue of the world and a lack of leadership ripening for the advent of the Antichrist. We see Europe in great dire need of reassembling itself as the European Union is breaking up. We assume there'll be 10 leaders that will try to assemble to try to fix what's happening. Who's to say that you're coming for the church isn't at any moment now? Regardless, may we be living for you every day. And if there's anyone in here tonight that would say yes to you, then friend, say yes to him now. Your sins need to be forgiven. It's what Jesus did. He doesn't care about what you've done if you ask him for forgiveness. Get it to him. Drop it off like a time bomb. Drop it like a hot potato and run from it. Leave it with him. He'll remove it from his memory and yours. Come to Christ who died on the cross for your sins. For us who are believers, may we be emboldened in his truth, in your truth. And may we walk worthy of that holy, precious name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Come, My People. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We really do appreciate it. And when the Lord closes the door, don't be left out. Come to Jesus Christ today. Come, My People is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here on Real Radio, we've talked about what's available at our website many times, but it's important for us to remind you about the tab at our website called Know God. The Know God tab, that's K-N-O-W God, it's a way for us to show you just how much you mean to God and that he loves you and wants you to spend eternity with him. The Know God tab gives you insights on what it means to be saved and why each and every one of us needs salvation. It's also there to help you share your faith in Christ with others in a clear and precise way. So head on over to our website, click on the tab that says Know God. You'll find that at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.